Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John's Gospel, the fifth chapter. The 16th verse. Our study in the Gospel of John is actually found under the title from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. If you would stand with me, I want to share with you this portion from Matthew's Gospel from the Message, and then I will read from John's Gospel. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, Jesus said, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a rest, a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I like that. Our passage today moves us a little deeper in our understanding of Jesus by revealing his relationship to the Father. Now understand, as we shared last week, the healing at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath, and so those Jewish folks were ticked off because he had breached the Sabbath. So that sets up our passage in verse number 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Father in heaven, bless us this morning with clarity, with a rich understanding of your word, and may it move our lives. That we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Notice Jesus' response to their anger. Now, their anger was so intense, they wanted to kill him, and they would have killed him in the streets of Jerusalem were it not for the fact that the crowds were about him. So, in other words, they were ready and willing to breach and be illegal, even to their own law, in order to stop him, because two things. Number one, he says to them, "My Father is always working this very day, and I too am working." Verse 18, "For this reason the Jews tried the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." Jesus steps in, if you will, and not only as the Son of Man, but also as the Son of God. I believe that this is very, very important for us. Because you see, it is easy for us, as we hear this Jesus name and even study and reflect upon the historical Jesus, and by the way, he is a historical figure. There are many, many, many non-spiritual, non-Christian, non-religious proofs that Jesus lived in this time and that he died on the cross. So it is not just from the Bible that we have this, but there is a very strong historical evidence of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oftentimes we will accept that reality of the historical Jesus, but do not acknowledge that he is the Son of God. Now, this is a distinction of this fellowship to many other fellowships in the world. Now, I'm not going to label this morning. I will not go there because I cannot give a full enough explanation of each, what we would call cult or whatever, that would say that Jesus is a good prophet, that he was a good man, that he was a historical figure, but they do not allow him to be the Son of God. This passage of Scripture, if you'll tuck it away, can be very, very powerful when you are met with somebody who says to you, well, I believe that Jesus was a prophet. I believe that he came here on earth. I just don't believe that he was the Son of God. Well, you can reach into your heart and pull out the fifth chapter of John and say, well, here's what Jesus said on the day that he was ministering here on earth. So then they can choose not to believe you, but they can choose whether they will believe him. And that's important. Amen? We not only believe in the historical Jesus, the Son of Man, we believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Praise his name. Now he begins, he gives that blanket statement there in verse number 18, or verse number 17. My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. In other words, he makes himself inclusive with the Father. But then he begins to break it open, and that's what we're going to look at here for a few minutes this morning. And, you know, sometimes our study will be right on the surface and really easy. And then there's other times it's going to be just a little bit deeper. So kind of grab hold of yourself and dig in just a little bit. There's something obvious in our passage that kind of gives us some clarity as Jesus brings this forth. He starts each phrase with, I tell you the truth. How many believe that Jesus tells the truth? He said, I tell you the truth in verse number 19. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honored the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now let's tear into this just a little bit. First of all, those words, I tell you the truth, may not be the most perfect translation of the original language. Basically, there are two Hebrew words that are transliterated into the Greek language and used here in Aramaic and Greek by Jesus. And they're very familiar to us. Amen. Amen. Or amen, amen, depending on what scholar you are. Truly, truly is what the King James says. Or verily, verily. All of these are the translation of these same words. In the original is amen. Amen. The literal translation means to be firm, steady, truthworthy. In the Old Testament, you will often find, such as in Psalm, I'll give you just one example, Psalm 41:13, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." The Old Testament always puts it at the end as a confirmation statement that what has just been said is truth, it is truth. Or, as many have interpreted, so let it be. In the New Testament, only Jesus uses these words in preference or at the beginning of a statement that he's getting ready to make. Normally, someone would make their statement and then say, "So let it be," or "This is the absolute truth." Jesus, on the other hand, makes the preference of this right up front. In other words, you can believe what I'm about to say. That's what he's saying. You can bank on it. You can lean your life into it. You can stand upon it as a foundation because this is truth. You know, many times in this world, you will hear individuals say, "Well, what is truth?" Jesus. You know, it's interesting because folks think, "Well, you're spiritualizing. You're spiritualizing on everything." No. I'm simply telling you what he said. I'm the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You see, we talk about the benefit of studying the Word of God and the life of Jesus and how it adds to us and brings peace to us. But the reality of this, folks, is that the only complete truth that exists in this world is Jesus. And you and I have the privilege of accepting him into our lives. The phrase here, "I tell you the truth," could read, "I am truth itself. And I tell you as a most certain and infallible truth." He is saying to these folks that are wanting to kill him because he says that he is the Son of God, "I am about to confess to you something that is absolute. Absolute. You can build your lives on it." This morning, here in Bedford, Indiana, on May the 1st, 2016, I can stand before you and say, Jesus is the Son of God. Without any question, without any quibbling, he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. And he was, and he is, and he ever shall be. Praise his holy name. Now, if you don't get anything else this morning, I hope you walk out of here with that. I hope you walk out with a full confession. Not just because Pastor Bill said it, but because you believe it in your heart. I'll show you why here in just a moment. He begins to break this down. He says that he can only do what he sees the Father doing. Now, this tells us two things. First, that God the Father is a healing, saving, protecting, loving Father. Boy, isn't that a contrast to many images that we have of God the Father. We will often contrast. We have God the Father as this looming power, and God the Son as this loving Savior. The reality is that Jesus said, "I can do only what I see the Father doing." So if Jesus is a Savior, the Father is a Savior. If Jesus is a healer, come on, then the Father is a healer. If Jesus loves and has compassion upon mankind, then the Father loves and has compassion upon mankind. This is interesting because it is a limitation. For Jesus to say that I will only imitate what the Father does, he imposes a limitation upon himself. Let me show you this real quickly. If I would have many years ago said, I am only going to do in life what my Father has done, I wouldn't be standing before you. I would not have graduated from high school. I would never have gone to college and earned a bachelor's degree. I definitely would not be up in front of people, because my dad stood over to the side, very quiet. Somebody came and talked to them, he would talk to them, but other than that, he would just stand over the side and watch everybody. How many realize this morning that I have not imitated my father? You see, here's the interesting part about this. With Jesus, it was a limitation for him to purposely only do what the Father did. But it was a limitless act in that his Father could do everything. Hallelujah. You say, well, what does this mean to me? Well, it means everything when we encourage you to live like Jesus. You say, it's such a limitation. No. Because he's limitless. You see, you've got to look past the individual to whom they are imitating to really get the figure. When somebody says, I'm going to live like them, then you look past them to see who they're going to live like. He said, I'm going to do everything that the Father would do. And so he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed. He went about preaching good news and power and transformation, because those are the things that the Father does. Oh, I can't camp here too long. You see, Jesus purposely ordered his life. He was physically a man, but he was the Son of God. He could have walked as a deity among us and never been touched. Paul, reckoning with this in the second chapter of Philippians, in his writing to the Philippian church, he said he thought it not equal himself to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, being subject unto all that we are subject to. And then suffering death, even the death of the cross. It was an act of his will as the Son of God for him to set aside his deity and live as a man. And you know why he did it? For you, for me. You see, he could have come and just come onto the scene and died. But instead, he came as a baby, grew up into manhood, suffered all the things that we suffered, experienced all the things that we experience, and then surrendered his life for us. An act of his will. He says, he gives us the reason why he ordered his life. He says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Okay? Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. So this is talking about Jesus and his relationship with the Father. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he pleases to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honored the Father. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, had full confidence in the desire of the Father. This is the reason why he told Nicodemus, God, the Father, loved the world so much that he sent the Son into the world. Now, young folks, this is an extremely important thing for you to get settled in your heart. God the Father loves you. He loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die for you on the cross. And in the same way that you can go out and study the historical Jesus, you can learn all about Him. You can learn about the days and the effects that He had upon mankind as He came into this world as a human being. You have the opportunity to study and to know Him as the Son of God and realize that everything that the Father desired, the Son did. So when Jesus says to us, follow me, He's only asking us to do what He has done in the flesh. And that means that the same power that operated in Jesus' life, this is what He promised. The same power that He operated, He has promised to us so that we could be imitators of Him, even as He was an imitator of the Father, walking in the flesh. In other words, He did not do the things that He did because of His deity. Though He was deity, He didn't do the things that He did because of His deity. He did those things because of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that was in His life, the same Spirit that He promised to each one of us so that we could live like Him. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know. I tell you the truth. Uh-oh, here's another one in verse 24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Once again, I like the way the Message puts this. Let me share it with you from the Message. It's urgent that you listen carefully to this. Anyone here who believes what I'm saying right now and aligns himself with the Father, who has in fact put me in charge, has at this moment the real, lasting life and is no longer condemned to be an outsider. This person has taken a giant step from the world of the dead to the world of the living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What Jesus is saying is this. Step one, believe what He's saying about His relationship with the Father. Step two, believe what the Father is desiring to do through Jesus. The Godhead is at work on your and my behalf. Well, I don't know if God really... Hey, come on. I don't know if He's hearing my prayers. Are you kidding? He left the glory of heaven and came to this earth to simply say to us, I care. Well, then what's this voice inside of me that's questioning? That's the voice of your enemy. How many believe this morning there's a devil? Not sure. Well, maybe there is. There's the devil. He is your adversary. He is a liar. He has purposed to speak his lies into our ears, into our minds. He'll tell you and try to tell you that God doesn't care. He cares about everything you're going through. Well, if God is real, how could He allow? Hang on, sister. It's not over yet. If God should step in and begin to judge all the wrong, all the hurt, and all the pain, if He were to step into this world, then judgment would flow from His throne and grace would cease. You and I are living in this spectacular wake, if you will, of the coming of the Son of God into this world. Just like a boat, a big ship, when it's moving through the water, there will be a wake trail behind it that is miles long, where it has churned up the seaweed and churned up the ocean and turned everything over from the huge propellers that are at the back end of that ship. Makes an impact on everything behind it. You and I are living in the wake, 2,000 years later, of the coming of the Son of God into this world. We're still in the churnings of that. But a day is coming where God will put His foot down. You think you hate the fact that babies are killed? You hate the fact that children are dying all over the world of starvation? You think that it doesn't touch the heart of God when mass murderers murder people? You couldn't be further from the truth. If it touches your heart and then you move on with your life, as most of us do, we shut off the news. Oh, I can't watch any more of that. God sees it all. And He has purposed to extend His arms of love and grace and mercy to as many as will come. The whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're living in the wake of the cross. It gives us an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. But don't think that God is not noticing all of those things that you notice and question. It's just if He steps in judgment, then judgment will pour forth. Oh, I don't know. What's at stake here? Whoever believes these two things has eternal life. He will not be condemned. He already has an eternal position. If you this morning will accept the sacrifice that Jesus came to make upon the cross, if you will accept it as your own, and if you believe that God the Father sent Him into this world. Now, this is what Jesus said. He said, if you believe me, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. I have eternal life this morning. Hallelujah. And you know what? I didn't earn it. I didn't work my way into it. I have eternal life this morning because I believe that He came and paid my debt. I serve Him this morning because He came and served at the will of the Father to purchase my life. I say this to you a lot, but I'm going to continue to say it over and over again. Paul said it, I am not my own. I was bought with a price. Understand, church, belief is not passive. This is one of the things that we draw forth from this portion for us. Not only just learning that Jesus is the Son of God as well as the Son of Man, but also the understanding that belief is not passive. It is not just a feeling that you have. It is a movement inside of us that compels us to a different life. That's the reason why Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. He said, well, Pastor, I don't feel any different. I accepted Christ, but I don't feel any different. Then you may want to check up. Because you see, if you have accepted Him in a manner of just understanding Him, it's no different than those who would accept Him as a historical figure. But when you have turned your life, not just your sin, but your life over to the Son of God, and you begin to imitate Him as He imitated the Father, then real belief has happened. You get to decide whether you buy into this. You see, I can say I believe something, and unless that thing is challenged, there's no measure of surety. However, when what I believe is challenged by the circumstances or trials, the reality of what I believe becomes known. I can say that I believe in something, but it is only when that something is tested in real life that I know whether I believe. That's the reason why James says, count it all joy when you enter into trials and struggles. Everybody in here does that. Yes, another trial. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Come on, let's all chant it together. Trials, trials. We don't know if we believe until our faith is tried. And you know, we don't know what we believe until our faith is tried. You know, we may believe that Jesus is the Son of God until we come up against a circumstance and we order up what we desire and then he doesn't jump through our hoop. Huh? Then all of a sudden, do you still believe? Is he still the Savior of your soul because you ask him for something and he didn't deliver in the manner in which you ask him? You see, he's still Jesus. He still died. He's still the Son of God. He's still worth moving according to his plan and his desire, no matter if he does it your way or not. He is. You see, we disdain when our faith is challenged. But how do you know that it is faith until it's challenged? We've been looking at this, backing away a little bit, we've been looking at this from the perspective of the miracles. If I only believe in Jesus, if I only believe that he is a healer, if he heals me every time that I get sick, then is it really belief? Or is it simply sight? I believe
in you. I believe. Come on. I believe
in you. If the roof shakes or falls in, where's your faith? Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him against that day. Paul had this full persuasion of faith. You know why? Because his faith was fully tested. Now, please understand, I'm not expecting a lot of amens here this morning because we just don't want to jump into this and go, yes, so let it be that I have tests and trials and difficulties in my life so that my faith can stand. Ooh. Once again, say it with me. Bring on the trials. Bring on the tests. Let my faith be strong. We just don't sing those songs, you know? Chant those chants. And yet, see, this is the reality of this, folks. Faith will not be faith. Belief will not be belief in your life until it is tested, until you go through some stuff. You say, oh, Pastor, I'm going through some stuff now. This may be nothing compared to what you're going to go through. Are you ready to hold on to Jesus? Are you ready to continue to believe in Jesus? Are you willing to accept that he is the Son of the living God? Are you willing to face the reality that he is Lord, he is the Master, he is God? Whether it all works out the way you think that it should work. Because he hears the marvelous truth. And this is what Jesus is saying. You know, he doesn't give a whole bunch of promises in between there. But what he does say is, eternal life is yours if you really believe. The best of us may be able to eke out 100 years on this earth. My mom's 87 this Friday. And she says, you know, in some ways it just seems like it just flew by. She says, other times she says, my mind's a swarm with all the things that have happened in my life. But other times she says, it just seems like it's just like this. I was a girl and now I'm an 87-year-old woman. See, that's the way life is. It's like the grass that grows here today and gone tomorrow. But you and I, when we settle in, when we're willing to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I mean, really believe it, tested, believe it, we have everlasting life. Praise His name. You see, too many folks are throwing in the towel too early. Because something breaks inside their body. Something doesn't go according to plan. Forgive me with this, but maybe there's even some suffering that goes along with it. Oh, how could God? What? Bigger question is, why did God even bother with us? Full of sins, full of selfishness, full of self-rule. See, why did God the Father honor Jesus? Because He was willing to submit. He was willing to yield. He was willing to do whatever the Father desired. And that's the reason why the Father says, this is My Son, listen to Him, on the Mount of Transfiguration. He has something to say. You know how I know? Because He's listening to me. He's speaking My words. Oh my goodness. Oswald Chambers says, to believe is to commit. In particular belief, I commit myself spiritually to Jesus Christ and determine in that thing to be dominated by the Lord alone. When I stand face to face with Jesus and He says to me, believest thou this? I find that faith is as natural as breathing, and I am staggered that I was so stupid as to not trust Him before. One of these days, if we're so blessed to make it into His heaven, if there's any reflection at all that goes on, we will say, why didn't I praise Him more? Why didn't I yield more? Why didn't I walk according to His plan more? Because He got it right. What if? Let me throw a what if at you. What if this is just practice? This is just preparation for what we're going to be in eternity. What if? I think we could probably find some good evidence. Let me give you one more, I tell the truth. In verse number 25, he says, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and now has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Ooh. Jesus is proclaiming that He will operate in the same power as the Father. The Father is the giver of life. Listen, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. For as the Father, Jesus said, has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. The Father has life in Himself. The Father's self-existent life is the source of all life. Jesus will call forth the dead by that same power and in that same power. And He did. He said, it is now come. That's the reason why He raised the widow's son. That's the reason why Jairus' daughter was brought to life. That's the reason why his good friend was brought forth from the tomb. The same Jesus is one of these days going to call our dead bodies out of the grave. Come on up here. You believed in Me. You walked with Me through the trials and tribulations and struggles of life. You stayed true to Me. Come on home. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. In the same way, Jesus moves the scale of his equality with the Father to include not only life, but also judgment. Listen to this. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. In other words, the Father has given the Son the power of judgment because he has come into the world and lived life as a man. So the Father has given all judgment over to the Son. Now he says, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Note, all will rise at his command, and all will stand before his throne. That's why Paul, when he talks about Jesus laying aside his deity and living as a man, he says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Listen to this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Absolute authority. You see, you can bypass him today. You can sit and hear my voice. I'm just a seed sower. Human is all get out on a daily basis. Everybody that works with me knows my humanity. I'm just a seed sower, and you can choose whether you will listen to me or not. But if you will accept the seed of the Word of God and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and you will allow him to come and take the sin of your life, and you give your life over to him, and you live your life for him, in imitation of him, just like Jesus imitated the Father, you imitate the Son. Then one of these days he will call you forth, just like he's going to call everybody forth from the grave. And in that hour you will stand before him. And where you would stand with all the sins and all the transgressions and all the foolishness and all the rebellion that you have committed in your life, and you would stand there before the Son of God who died for it all. And he'll look and open up a book, and it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is written in there because you chose Jesus to be your master, your leader. It's not about doing it all right, folks. It's who you know. You know, they say now, the best way to get a job in these United States is to know somebody in the company that you want to be in. So I even encourage folks, you know, if you're wanting to be in a certain company, then do your best to try and find somebody that you can network with. You can join LinkedIn and all these different things. Why? Because it's who you know as to whether or not you can actually get into a company. Well, I'm telling you this morning, heaven's just like that. So, well, Pastor, I don't like that. So, it's true. There's only going to be one reason why I am in heaven. And that's Jesus. That's it. It's not going to be because of my worthiness. It's not going to be because of my holiness. It's not going to be because of my good looks. It will be because of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. All right. I want to be done. But I want to share with you one incredible story. This is out of Lee Strobel's book called The Case for Faith. Charles Templeton was a close friend and preaching associate of Billy Graham in the 1940s. He effectively preached the gospel to large crowds in major arenas. However, intellectual doubts began to nag at him, and he questioned the truth of Scripture and other core Christian beliefs. He finally abandoned his faith and made an unsuccessful attempt to persuade Billy Graham to do the same. He felt sorry for Billy. He said he committed intellectual suicide by closing his mind. Templeton resigned from the ministry and became a novelist and news commentator. He also wrote a critique of the Christian faith titled, Farewell to God, My Reasons for Rejecting the Christian Faith. Interviewed when he was 83 and suffering from Alzheimer's disease, Templeton talked about some of the reasons he left the faith. Quote, "I started considering the plagues that sweep across parts of the planet and indiscriminately kill more often than not, painfully, all kinds of people, the ordinary, the decent, the rotten. And it just became crystal clear to me that it's not possible for an intelligent person to believe there is a deity who loves." When asked what he thought of Jesus Christ, Templeton would not acknowledge him as God. Rather, he responded, "He was the greatest human being who has ever lived. He was a moral genius. His ethical sense was unique. He was the intrinsically wisest person that I've ever encountered in my life or readings. He's the most important thing in my life. I know it might sound strange, but I have to say I adore him. Everything good I know, everything decent I know, everything pure I know, I learned from Jesus. He's the most important human being who has ever existed, and if I may put it in this way, I miss him." Templeton's eyes filled with tears, and he wept freely, and he refused to say any more. Faith is faith. Every single one of us will make a choice of whether we will believe in Jesus or whether we will try to find evidences of his deity. I believe there's enough evidence right here in the words of Jesus. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, "I'm going to do everything that the Father does. I'm going to love like the Father loves. I'm going to give like the Father gives. I myself," Jesus said in verse 30, "can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." This, folks, is a beautiful expression of the life of a believer. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only by what the Spirit tells me, and that judgment is just. I seek not to please myself, but the one who brought me, who bought me with his blood. In the same way that Jesus surrendered to the will of the Father, you and I need to surrender to the will of the Son. Young and old, it's not just about taking these elements of communion. It's not just about doing miracles or seeing miracles. It's about believing that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes without doubting shall have everlasting life.